Well, thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that. It's so good to be with each and every one of you this morning. Quick story, if you're anything like me, you have some disappointment that you probably have felt in the last maybe several hours, maybe the last several weeks when it comes to this bracket thing that we're in that's called March Madness. I'm sure there's a lot of Purdue fans in here who were pretty upset last night. But listen, join my pain. I was upset Thursday night. I'm a huge Florida State fan. And so you don't meet too many individuals in the Midwest who say they are Florida State fans, but I am. My dad was born in Tallahassee, Florida. We still have family on my dad's side who still lives in the South right now. And so my love for Florida State started when I was a young kid. In the fall, we would go down, and it would be the middle of the football season. And so my grandmother's house still to this day bumps up right against the Florida State campus. And so I remember when I was a kid, we would watch the football games and we would turn down the volume on the TV and listen to the PA announcer. And so we would then like hear the atmosphere. We would hear everyone in the stadium, and they were so excited about everything that was going on in the midst of this stadium. And so it just really gave us this true, authentic feel sitting in my grandmother's backyard as if we were truly there. And so it was an amazing experience because it cut out all the distractions and just allowed us to be able to participate in that moment. And so the reason I tell you that story is because I believe that God has something for us today to learn, for us to apply to our lives. And so my prayer for each and every one of us, including me, is that I turn down and that we turn down the distractions in our lives and truly focus on being here in the moment, focusing on God's word and how we can apply his truths to our lives. And so this week, as we get ready to look at this second week of Preparing the Way, our Prepare the Way series, we're going to be highlighting one of the seven I am statements that we see Jesus make. And so throughout his life, he made seven I am statements for us to know the complexity of his love, for us to know the power of his existence, and for us to know that Jesus is exactly who he claimed to be. And so throughout these illustrations, we see that but Jesus, he wants each and every one of his children to know that this is why I was created, that this is why I have created you in this image, so that you know that I'm traveling alongside of you no matter what your circumstances may be. And so today we run across this I am statement that Jesus declares in the book of John, where he says that I am the good shepherd. And so if you have your Bibles with you, turn to John chapter 10. Maybe you have the Bible app with you. Can you find John chapter 10? We'll be looking at verses 10 through 15 this morning. If you don't have a Bible with you, you're new with us today, we would love for you to follow along with us on the screens. But after service, as Tony mentioned before, go find the connection corner and find someone in the blue shirt. We'll be able to love to bless you with the Bible so that you can continue to read God's truths in your own time as well. So John 10, looking at verse 10, there you'll find these words. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Jesus is speaking when he says this, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, Jesus says. I know my sheep and my sheep know me just as the Father knows me and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. And so as we read this scripture, we see that Jesus in this John 10 passage is declaring that he is our shepherd and that we are his sheep. But basically, the sole purpose of our relationship is that Jesus is willing to lead us if you and I are willing to follow. Now, if you're anything like me and know just a tad bit about animals, maybe from watching Animal Planet or National Geographic, or maybe you grew up on the farm, you may be wondering, Jesus, why'd you choose to compare who I am to who you are with this illustration of a sheep? Because this is what I do know. Out of all the animals in all the animal kingdom, I don't think sheep are necessarily the brightest animal that Jesus could have compared me to. Why couldn't I be this mighty lion? Why couldn't I be this roaring tiger? It's so much, sounds so much better than just a sheep. Because if you know anything about sheep, you know that they're dirty. You know that they stink. You know that they lack common sense. And if you don't know anything about them, you know they're just probably useful for a nice comfy pillow to lay your head on. But we can continue to name all these negative things about these sheep within this passage. However, as I spent time really diving into what Jesus was trying to say in this John 10 passage, I discovered that this passage isn't so much about the characteristics of the sheep, but rather this passage focuses on the love of the shepherd. And so when we look at this scripture, it's easy to go to this John 10 passage and start to name all these negative characteristics of the sheep. And it made me think about how many times in our lives do we jump to the negative narrative that we have placed on ourselves? How many times do we jump to the negative narrative that maybe someone has placed on us? And we walk in that negative narrative, not knowing that we were created by a shepherd that cares for us, that loves us. Maybe we've placed this negative narrative on someone in our lives that we have just placed this bad judgment on. And so we've allowed this negative narrative to be placed on their lives, maybe because of the way that they look, maybe because they don't think like us, maybe because of what we see on the exterior. But think about this. Think about if we spent more time focusing on the power of the shepherd and the love of the shepherd who has the ability to change the narrative in all of our lives. And so we see here, starting at this 10th verse in this 10th chapter of John, Jesus is in this figure of speech. He's using this illustration to express to these Pharisees and us here today at this 9:15 service at Connection Point that the first thing that I want you guys to know about about having a shepherd in your life is that there are benefits that come with having a good shepherd in your life. It comes with benefits. Basically, we find that Jesus is giving these Pharisees a warning. Like, hey, let me tell you something. No, it doesn't matter what zip code you live in. It doesn't matter how deep your spiritual walk is. It doesn't matter how much you think you have your life together. It doesn't matter how many zeros follow your yearly earnings. You got to understand that you're going to have some troubles in this thing called life. And so I love the way that Jesus, he puts it in this text. He doesn't allow us to think that life is just peaches and strawberries and flowers and daisies everywhere. No. He gives it to us simple. He says this, that the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. Steal, kill, and destroy. And so think about this. How would you prepare yourself if you knew a thief was after you? How would you make sure you're prepared for the fight of your life? What things would you make sure were in place so that you would not be caught off guard? You see, these are the same questions that we have to ask when it comes to our spiritual walk. These are the same questions that we have to ask when it comes to following a life that's pleasing to Christ. Because the truth is that Jesus is sharing in this text that, hey, the enemy is after you. The devil is after you, and he's coming to steal, kill, and destroy everything that God has destined in your life. And so how are you prepared for that? How are you prepared for the fight of your life? Now, that's the sad news that we read. That's the depressing news that we read right here in this 10th verse. But hope comes within this verse as well. Because Jesus continues by saying this, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I've come so that they may have life and have life to the full. Now, before we dig too deep into the meaning of what that truly means, notice what Jesus did not say. Jesus didn't say, I've come so that you won't have to experience hurt. Jesus didn't say, I've come so that you won't have to experience broken relationships. Jesus didn't say, I've come so that you won't have to experience the loss of a job. Jesus didn't even say, I've come so that you won't have to deal with sorrow on this earth. No, Jesus is saying through the hurt, through the pain, through the loss of a job, through the sorrow, through a broken relationship, I still want you to know that you have the opportunity to live a life to the full. And so that whole meaning of living life to the full, sometimes I think we get it mixed up. Living a life to the full isn't necessarily the blessings that we receive from Christ. Yes, those things are great in our lives, and yes, we're happy when we receive those things, but that's a very small part to how we are able to experience living life to the full. Sometimes we call it this idea of living in abundance, but that's not the way that Jesus really meant it in this text here in John 10. You see, Jesus wants us to live a life. He wants that definition to live a life to the full, to look like how we are changed by the power of Christ. That's the true meaning that Jesus wants us to see of how we can live a life to the full. And so once we are changed by the power of Christ, we'll see that Jesus is willing to stand in the gap against anything that's against us. We'll understand that even through my hurt, even through my troubles, even through my sorrow, no matter what I'm facing, Jesus is there. And when you realize Jesus is there, it'll give you a different perspective of what you're facing. It'll give you a different outlook on life. It'll change your mindset to how you approach the troubles of this world because you know Jesus is standing in the gap. You'll see that he's with you. You'll see that he cares for you. You'll see that his love is unconditional for you. And there's someone here today that needs to know that, that needs to understand that this is a promise from the shepherd to his sheep. That this is a promise from Jesus to you and I today, that Christ is standing in the midst of your circumstance. Christ is standing in the gap. And so to catch us up to where we are right here in this 10th verse of this 10th chapter of John, earlier in the 10th chapter, Jesus already declared that I am the gate. Jesus said, I am the gate and no one can enter into the sheep pen except through me. Basically meaning if you want to know more about how to access the good shepherd, if you want to know more about how to be able to get have this understanding of what this idea of eternal life is all about, Then it starts with me. It starts by entering into a relationship with me because I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And so this is how Jesus has prepared the way for us to walk into a relationship with him. And a lot of us in this room have been able to enter into that gate of relationship. We understand the significance of having a good shepherd in our lives. But there may be someone here today. There may be someone that we know in our lives that we've been wanting to take that step. We've been encouraging them to take that step into entering into this relationship with Jesus Christ. Because once you enter into a relationship with Christ, you'll see how beneficial it is for him to be in your life, for him to be the shepherd who's always leading you. And so one of the benefits that we see that come from the shepherd is the protection of the shepherd. Look at what verses 12 and 13 says. It says, the hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. Some of us this morning, we've been looking for this idea of protection in all the wrong areas of our lives. And we found ourselves turning to these temporary shepherds, which we find Jesus in this 10th chapter basically saying, hey, that's this idea of a hired hand. You see, the true definition of a hired hand is a person who's hired to do short-term work meaning that when it came to the protection of these sheep, this individual was not equipped to handle their day-to-day needs. He wasn't able to handle their pains. He wasn't able to handle their burdens. His purpose was only temporary. However, when it comes to the good shepherd, he's the only individual who has the authority and the ability to protect the sheep. That's why in verse 12, it said that when with the hired hand was nowhere to be found when the enemy came around these sheep. And so there are things in our lives that we've given way too much authority to. So much to the point that when our back is against the wall and when we're in our weakest moments in our lives, when we turn to those things, they're nowhere to be found. When we turn to those things, they don't give us that true joy that help us overcome our situations. And so my question for you this morning is, what have you allowed to get in the way of allowing the good shepherd to be replaced by the hired hand in your life? What have you allowed to get in the way of truly being able to turn towards Jesus in your weakest moments, in your weakest times, when you're hurting, when you have no one to talk to, when you feel alone? What have you turned to? You see, if we were to put this idea of the hired hand and the good shepherd on this weighting scale, it would be broken down like this. This idea of the hired hand is someone who brings a peace of mind. Most of the time, it's a peace of mind because it's something that's tangible, something that's visual in our lives. And because of those two attributes that we put together, we tend to give it more credibility than it truly deserves in our lives. However, when we turn to the good shepherd, Jesus, he is the true protector of our lives. He's the true protector of our lives. He's the only person who we can find that hope and that joy in to keep us going. And Jesus will even go to drastic measures to be able to make sure his sheep are protected. And so there's this interesting relationship between a shepherd and a sheep. That relationship is that when a shepherd is leading the flock, every now and then, because of the sheep's ability not to have the most common sense in the world, a sheep will every now and then wander off from the flock. And so the shepherd will stop the flock and he'll correct the sheep. And then he'll allow the sheep to continue to journey on to its destination. Well, they'll continue to journey, and that same old shepherd, or the same old sheep rather, will journey off from the flock again, and the shepherd would stop the flock, put the sheep back in place, and then they would journey back to their destination. And then after a while, this keeps happening, the sheep will wander off and get off track, and the shepherd would stop the flock. This time, the shepherd has to take some more corrective action in the sheep's life. And so the shepherd he'll kneel down to the sheep and he'll break the sheep's leg. Now that kind of ruins the story of Mary Had a Little Lamb that I grew up learning as a young kid. But that's what the shepherd will do. He'll break the sheep's leg. But what I love about the shepherd's love is that even though he had to get down and break this sheep's leg, after a while, he'll put the sheep on his shoulders, and now the shepherd is carrying this broken sheep, continuing to go towards its destination. And the shepherd will allow the sheep to stay on his shoulders all the way until the sheep is healed and able to get back on the track that the shepherd had destined for it. And so I shared that story with you because there's some of us in here that are broken this morning. We feel like we're walking around with a limp. We feel like there's no one who sees our broken state, but you got to understand that the shepherd has you on his shoulders, and he's journeying with you. He's carrying you until you're healed, just to show you that he still wants to carry you to your destination. You see, we need to understand that the shepherd's love is sometimes given in corrective ways. Sometimes the shepherd will use harsh but yet intentional actions to get us to see that even in our broken states, that he is still leading us towards our destiny. Even as broken as you may feel right now, God still has a purpose for you. God is still leading you towards what he's called you to be. And that's what I love most about the shepherd that we serve, Jesus Christ. He's willing to lead us. He's willing to walk alongside of us. He's willing to carry us until we're healed. You're not alone. He cares for you. He wants the best for each and every one of us in this room. Even if that means taking some intentional actions to get us to the place where we're destined to be. And so once we see the benefit of having a shepherd in our life, and once we can rest within the protection of that shepherd, we'll soon realize that all of this is only possible because of our relationship with the shepherd. Look at what verse 14 and 15 says. Jesus says that I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. 11 weeks ago, my wife and I, Gabrielle, we got to welcome our son into this world, Grayson Henry Hart, and it was just an awesome, awesome time in our lives where we were truly able to just be thankful for this moment that God had given us. And so I remember being in the hospital and a couple days after we had brought Grayson into this world, and I remember the doctor saying, the nurses are going to come get Grayson eventually and take him for a wellness check. And so we were like, okay, that's fine. We know that's for his better judgment, but I'm thinking as a father, y'all better not hurt my son because I'll fight you. I'm a Christian, I don't fight. I just remember being in that moment of being like this protective dad, what are you gonna do with my son? Because I don't want him to be hurt. But I knew it was also for the betterment of his life that they take him away and they run some tests on him. And so I remember during that time that they came in, I knew that the time was coming, they were going to come and get Grayson. So I went downstairs and installed the car seat because I knew it would be going home in a couple days. And so when I got back upstairs, I remember walking through this maternity ward and hearing a baby crying. And Grayson had only been here for maybe a day. However, I realized the cry that was coming from this hallway that I was walking through. And so I'm like, I'm new at this whole fatherhood thing, but I'm pretty sure that's my son crying. And so I start walking fast to the room, and I walk in the room, and Grayson's nowhere to be found. Gabrielle's asleep. I know she's trying to get some rest, so I don't wake her up. But I'm like, where is my son? And so I continue to follow the crying, and he's a couple of doors down was the nursery where they had all of these babies in the room, and all of them are crying. However, I only heard the voice of my son, Grayson. And so I go to the glass and I step up to the glass, and right there in front of the glass, Grayson is right there. And I'm looking around the room wondering, out of all of these crying babies, how come I only hear Grayson? And it spoke so much truth to me in that moment that just as Jesus is going through this text, he's saying, I know my sheep. Jesus knows each and every one of us. Just as I knew Grayson's cry out of anyone else's cry that was coming from that nursery, Jesus knows your cry. It doesn't matter what's going on around you. It doesn't matter what circumstances you are having to be faced with in this moment. Jesus knows your cry. He cares for you, and he'll run to your need. He'll run by your side. He'll run to you to let you know that I love you. Now, I couldn't bust through the glass and get my son to be like, hey, daddy's here. But I knew in that moment that was my son's cry. And Jesus knows in your every dire moment what your cry sounds like. That's the benefit. That's the relationship. That's the power that a relationship with Christ can have, where he'll drop everything to care for his sheep. And so isn't it good to know that you have a shepherd that cares that much for you? That you have a shepherd that knows your every hurt, that knows your every mistake, that knows your every joy, that knows your every desire, that knows your every dream, He knows everything about you because of his love for you. You see, the interesting thing about a sheep is that they don't have the best vision. And so as sheep are journeying in a flock and traveling in a flock, the only thing that can help them stay on the right path is by looking at the butt of the sheep in front of them. Now, I thank God every day that I don't have to travel like sheep and look at someone's butt to be able to stay on the path that God has for me. But isn't it interesting to know that, that's the only way they can stay on the right path? However, because of the trust that has been built between the shepherd and the sheep, even when the sheep can't truly see where they're going, they're still willing to put their faith and their trust into the shepherd. Because that's what the power of a relationship with the shepherd can do in our lives. When we're blinded by the troubles of this world, when those temporary things in our lives no longer give us joy, when the enemy is out to steal, kill, and destroy everything that we care about, everything that we have in our lives, will you be blinded by the circumstance? Or will you continue to put your trust in knowing that there's a shepherd that's leading you towards something better? And you may be asking this morning, well Tony, how do I get there? How do I know if this shepherd is truly leading me towards something better? How do I know the benefits that come with this shepherd? How do I know that this shepherd is truly protecting me from the enemies of this world? Well, we find the answer to that in the book of Psalm 23, chapter 23. And it says this: "The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the paths he guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." You see, Jesus, our shepherd, he wants to lead us to this, from this life of sin and evil to a life filled with joy. But we have to understand that we have a role to play in that as well. You see, the significance of this 23rd Psalm that I love is that in verse 2, we see that we talk about that God will lead us towards green pastures. The reason why that's so important is because as sheep are traveling, as they're going in this flock together, the shepherd will lead them towards something nutritional, something that has a purpose for their life. However, if they stay there too long, they'll eat up everything that has a purpose, everything that's nutritional, and continue to stay in that spot because they don't know that now what they're consuming, now what they're eating is no longer healthy for them. And so the benefit of reading this 23rd Psalm is to see that God always is leading us towards something better. He's always leading us towards something better. And so that's what Christ wants each and every one of us to see in our lives, that he's leading us towards green pastures. He's leading us towards something better in our lives. And that's the power of what the gospel can do. That's the power of what this gospel, the gospel that our shepherd has created for us, that's the power of what it can do in our lives. You see, there's a difference between this idea of knowing of the shepherd and knowing the shepherd. You see, if you've showed up to church for so long, and truly have not allowed the gospel to come into your life and change you for the better, change how you see people, change how you love people, change how you go deeper into your relationship with Christ, then with all due respect, more than likely you know of this idea of the shepherd. But if you've been able to leave this place better than you've come, you've left this place with your held high, finding hope in sometimes some of the most hopeless situations, then you know the shepherd. You know the power of the gospel in your life. You know that our outlooks and our perspectives can be changed because of knowing who the shepherd is. And so let me help this become a little bit more simple to you with this simple but powerful story. There was a young man who went to this recital competition, and he stepped up to the microphone, and he had a nice suit on with a nice tie, some nice Oxfords on, and he looked like he was very well put together. You can tell that he had life going on, society had been good to him, and he steps up to this microphone and says, "I'm going to read the 23rd Psalm." And so he steps up and says that the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his namesake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. And so this young man is continuing to go on throughout this 23rd Psalm. And by the time he gets done, everyone's clapping for him, because they've known how well he's articulated this 23rd Psalm, and he's gotten through it, and people are just moved by the way he said it. People understand that, man, that guy's a good speaker. So a couple speakers later, there's this older gentleman who steps up to the microphone. You can tell he's had some hardships in life. You can tell life has not dealt him the best hand. You can tell that even in this moment, he's struggling to keep it all together. However, he steps up to the microphone and says, "You've heard this story before, but let me tell you my version of the story." He says that the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He's allowed me to lie down in green pastures. He's led me beside some still waters in my life. He's been able to restore my soul. He's guided me to the paths of righteousness, all for his glory. And so by this time, there are tears that are starting to gather in this man's eyes, and they're starting to come down his cheeks. And he continues and says, "Even though I've had to walk through some of the most challenging areas of my life, my God's been with me. I fear no evil. My God has comforted me through everything I've ever had to endure in my life. My God has prepared a table before me, even when the enemy was surrounding me. He's anointed my head with oil, to the point where blessings just keep overflowing in my life, even when I didn't think I deserved it. Surely, God's goodness and his love have followed me all the days of my life. And for that very reason, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." You may be saying, "Well, Tony, you said these two guys said the same thing." But the difference is that the first individual who was able to articulate this 23rd Psalm with so much profound energy, he said it with this idea of knowing of the shepherd. However, this older gentleman who didn't have it all the way together, he was able to say this 23rd Psalm with this idea of knowing exactly who the shepherd was in his life, of knowing exactly the power of what having a shepherd in your life can do. He knew that the shepherd had changed his perspective. He knew that the shepherd had changed the outcome of his life. No matter what circumstances he was facing, he knew the power behind this 23rd Psalm. And that's what the shepherd wants from us. He wants us to know the benefit. He wants us to know the protection. He wants us to know the power of our relationship when it comes to him and how it can change our lives for the better. And so right now, I want each and every one of us to experience that same power, to experience that same power that we find in this 23rd Psalm, knowing that it has the ability to change our perspective of how we see our circumstances. It has the ability to change the power of how we leave this place today, because a good shepherd is walking alongside of you. He laid down his life for each and every one of us so that we can know his love for us. And so right now I'm going to ask each and every one of us to stand as we get ready to read this 23rd Psalm in unison. And I don't want you to read it just because Tony's asking you to read it. But no, I want us to read it with the power of knowing that God has the ability to change our lives for the better. And with the power of knowing that God is always leading us towards something better. Read with me. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the path for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the shadows, I'm sorry, I'm reading the King James Version. Yeah. Keep going. Even though I walk through, there we go, we'll just read together. I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now, if you believe that and there's power behind that, put your hands together this morning as we celebrate the power of having a good shepherd in our lives. You see, in verse 14 of this 10th chapter in John, Jesus used this illustration that the shepherd will lay down his life for his sheep. And that's exactly what the shepherd has done for each and every one of us. That's exactly what Jesus has done for each and every one of us. And so right now we're going to go into a time of communion. And this is just a time to celebrate the sacrifice of that shepherd in our lives and to honor and reflect on him laying down his life for us. And so let us get prepared. Let's get our minds ready to celebrate the sacrifice of that good shepherd. You may be seated.